Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
A U.S. bond market collapse is a genuine risk due to our intractable debt. Now, I could bore you today talking about the Fed's meeting that showed the FOMC still wants two rate cuts this year, and that the Fed itself forecasts inflation rising to 3% and GDP growth falling to 1.4%, which is the very definition of stagflation, having inflation higher than growth. I could also talk about the war in the Middle East, which promises to get hotter over the next few days, but according to the insiders who know what's going on, promises to remain contained. But there is nothing more important than the current setup for a U.S. debt death spiral. So listen up. The debt to GDP ratio is now 123% and heading to 140% by 2029. Annual deficits equal 6.4% of GDP. The CBO projects the deficit to rise to 9% of GDP by 2035, or $2.7 trillion in an annual deficit. The interest alone on the U.S. debt is equal to 3% of GDP. Even if the primary deficit was zero, we would not be able to lower the debt-to-GDP ratio unless underlying economic growth was north of 3, but as the Fed says, we're going to get less than half of that. However, with the labor force and productivity shrinking, productivity shrank at 1.5% in Q1, a consistent growth rate of 3% is not probable. The annual deficit will add 40% of all federal revenue to the national debt this year alone. The deficit for fiscal 2025 is already $1.36 trillion with 4 months left to go. The deficit is 14% higher than it was last year at this time. Debt financing is expected to run above $1.2 trillion for this fiscal year, totaling $776 billion through the first 8 months of the fiscal year. Our national debt is now 740% of all revenue, federal revenue. The national debt should reach $67 trillion by 2035. It took 250 years to get $37 trillion. 250 years of U.S. history to reach $37 trillion where we are now. And we're going to add another $30 trillion in the next decade. Who is going to buy all these treasuries? That's the most important question. Who's going to buy them? The Fed is not now a buyer of bonds, but rather is in the process of shrinking its balance sheet. So far, the Fed has sold off $2.3 trillion worth of mostly treasuries from its balance sheet of all its assets, of all of its asset holdings. Foreign central banks are backing away from treasury purchases. Sanctions and confiscations of foreign assets have raised concerns about parking reserves in U.S. dollars. The tariff chaos has served to reduce international capital flows. Reduced global trade means there are less global trade surpluses and therefore less dollars that need to be parked in treasuries. The recent battle with extremely high inflation has caused concern over the value of the dollar, which backs U.S. treasuries. Solvency concerns have arisen due to the persistent and protracted $2 trillion deficits and all those data points I mentioned at the start of this podcast. This massive amount of red ink is happening at times that are peaceful, relatively peaceful, up until like, you know, a few days ago, and economic prosperity. What is going to happen during a recession or a war? Pollyannas say the Fed could always just step in and supplant free market demand for treasuries, but inflation has now become a huge obstacle. The Fed cannot easily save us anymore. Some people claim, since the Fed has the printing press, there will always be ample bids for U.S. debt. And it can print all the credit it wants without creating inflation, just like it did post the global financial crisis of circa 2008. But there are major macroeconomic differences between today and 2008-2007 timeframe. During and after the Great Recession that started in 2007, December 2007, and all the way through 2014, that wasn't the recession, but that was the period of time I'm highlighting, the Fed printed $4.5 trillion. That was the period of time, the salient period of time of Fed money printing, expansion of its balance sheet. But such debt monetization back then entailed the buying and removing of distressed bank assets, mortgage-backed securities, and that real estate-related debt, and then holding them at the Fed. Fed prints credit, takes the assets, the bad assets from banks, holds them at the Fed, and the banks have credit to operate. Therefore, the Fed's money printing mostly led to asset price inflation, and bond yields fell and risk assets increased because interest rates came down. However, the Fed credit, for the most part, never made it to Main Street. It remained on Wall Street, and consumer price inflation remained relatively quiescent. But if the Fed were forced to once again monetize trillions of dollars of debt today, either due to a recession or, you know, spiking bond yields, the inflation would most likely not remain on Wall Street. This is because annual deficits are already $2 trillion as opposed to $900 billion pre the global financial crisis. Deficits $2 trillion today, not $900 billion like it was back then. And during the next recession, annual deficits should rise between $4 to $6 trillion. No, I didn't misspeak, $6 trillion, due to the automatic economic stabilizers triggered by a rising unemployment rate. Speaking of a rising unemployment rate and a fracturing labor market, U.S. continuous jobless claims last week came in at 1.95 million. That figure is the highest since November of 2021. I digress. Let me go back to my point. In the next recession, the money or credit printed by the Fed and given to banks would in turn be used to purchase a tsunami of government debt instead of mortgage bonds, using private banks as a conduit to monetize trillions of dollars in treasury debt. This means the money would find its way to Main Street once again, just like the helicopter money did after COVID. And that would cause broader monetary aggregates to increase, which will send inflation rates soaring and putting upward pressure on bond yields. So I don't want to just be a negative nanny here. I want to give some possible solutions. The U.S. should avoid raising, at all costs, avoid raising the debt ceiling by $5 trillion. The Republicans should be embarrassed to raise the debt ceiling by $5 trillion without first ensuring entitlement reforms are made to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. In the current, and by the way, if they do that, if they cut significantly, we will also lower our interest costs too, which are the second biggest item in the budget. In the current big, beautiful bill, which was passed by the House and is being debated in the Senate, spending cuts amount to just $160 billion per annum and are, for the most part, back-end loaded. What is needed is a reduction of spending of $1 trillion per annum just to keep the debt to GDP ratio stable. Just have a chance of doing that. The so-called third rail of politics must be touched. Solutions could include raising the retirement age of Social Security for those who are not currently in the program and are not scheduled to receive benefits for at least the next decade. Also, income caps for contributions can be raised. Means testing for recipients for Medicaid should also be considered. Those who are of working age and in good health should not be eligible for Medicaid, period. We must do everything feasible to reduce our debt to GDP ratio while the bond market is still functioning relatively normally. Increasing the debt ceiling by $5 trillion without curbing deficits invites chaos into the bond market. We also must address the debt before the next recession arrives. The U.S. has averaged a recession every 6.4 years since World War II. The risk of a debt death spiral is very real, where the central bank is forced to usurp the free market for bonds by consistently printing trillions of dollars per annum to prevent bond yields from spiking inexorably. However, that very process could create runaway inflation, which in turn will push bond yields relentlessly higher regardless of the Fed's efforts. Tremors in the bond market are evident right now. The falling dollar, just as bond yields raise or are increasing, are evidence that the danger is very real. It is surely a sign that the faith in our currency and our sovereign debt market is failing. God willing, we will be spared from the massive quake coming. But the correct decisions must be made now while we still have time. Chaos in the credit markets will be what pops the real estate and equity market bubbles. It is the one factor that Pento Portfolio Strategies monitors most closely for our signal when to take the necessary steps to both protect and profit from the grand reconciliation of asset prices. I said protect and profit from the grand reconciliation of asset prices. Not just protect. I want to profit from them because that's what I'm charged to do. It even supersedes geopolitical strife, which is front and center today. Now, we don't panic over every headline about bombs or each threat of tariffs going higher. You would be short. You would be 100% short stocks or 100% in cash if that was the case, and would not be making money this year. That's for sure. You'd be losing money. And we don't get swayed by every garrulous word that proceeds from an FOMC mouth, Federal Open Market Committee mouth. And that is why having a robust model is so crucial. I want to know when the people who have the trillions of dollars that run this global economy, when they are ready to panic, when they know something's going to happen. My model is built to pick that up ahead of time. They know when recessions and liquidity crises are about to happen. And that is what the IDEC model, the inflation, deflation, economic cycle model, was built to detect ex ante. We detect that before it happens. It predicts it. And that is why we can rest easy knowing we have the process to succeed.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.